I don't think I ever asked you in the first one. Why Mayhem Jesus? How did you start this shit? I didn't care. But now that you're on the second
one, you still don't fucking care. No bullshit, man. We should
find out who this fucking guy is.
They got
if you get bourbon. Bored with this story, Phil, just say so.
No, Phil will love this story. No.
Okay, great. I don't think they're playing Naked Twister.
I guarantee you that fucking Buddha's not going to win Naked Twister.
I don't know. I think she's pretty hot.
So are you.
Aw, thanks, Pumpkin. Hey, this is Party Like a Rockstar podcast, and I'm your host, Joel. Today's episode is brought to you by Misha's Kind Foods. They're an LA-based small business making the world's finest non-dairy cheese on the market today. They're lactose-free, paleo, keto, kosher, perev, and 100% vegan. If you like what you see, check out the next video. If you like this video, please subscribe and like by clicking the little round button on the bottom right. To learn more about me or our other guests on the show, go to joelrody.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok. The handle is Joel Rody. If you haven't already read my book, Memoir of a Rody, it's now available through Amazon in paperback, Kindle, or as an audiobook. I hope you enjoy the show. My first guest is Phil Kron. He's currently the drummer of a band hailing from New Orleans called Transient. Phil also has a podcast called History Buffs. Darren Perry is back. AKA Mayhem Jesus. He's a tour manager with the MVK Music Group. His show Beauty and the Beast plays on Rock Rage Radio. Did I say roadie Jesus?
No, I'm not a roadie. I'm a tour manager, dude. Come on.
That's a fucking roadie. We have levels now.
I'm a glorified roadie, dude.
It was an easy question, tour manager. Did I mistakenly say Roadie Jesus or Mayhem Jesus? I don't know.
I think you said Mayhem. I don't know.
I'm going to leave it anyway. So my first question to you is, do people ever mess up your name and call you Mayhem Jesus?
Oh, yeah. The ones that are like religious and afraid that they're going to go to hell for fucking giving me love to.
So it happens. That's interesting.
Oh yeah, I get Jesus a lot, and it's usually people that are religious and just don't want to fucking stir the pot, don't want to.
So as soon as you hear somebody say Jesus, you're like, oh, this guy's religious.
That's usually what I think. Yeah, either that or Hispanic. Come on now, that was fucking funny. Fuck you.
Oh, guys. Sorry, that was a joke.
Yeah,
I think I was serious.
No, that was a good. I mean, we're off to a good start. I appreciate it. All right, so I told you guys I've been working a lot. I didn't have a lot of time to research today. Be honest. So I typed in Transient Phil. Okay. And I came up with this movie that had really great reviews. I'm going to read you the synopsis of this movie called Transient. All right. Transient is a poignant meditation on the nature of love and relationships, an end of love story that traverses themes of travel, capitalism, loss and love. It's filmed in Sydney and Vietnam, and it's a gay love story.
That's the story of me and Emmett, dude.
Yeah,
is it?
Oh yeah, me and Emmett. I haven't got him to cross over yet, but I'm gonna stick that big boy one day.
Yeah, hey, he's a closet.
Who the hell's Emmett?
Emmett is the guitar player for Transient.
Oh, I told you did my research.
Yeah, good job on that, dude. What are you talking about? The
movie has really great reviews. You should watch it.
Oh yeah, gay love. Why would we not?
Yeah, it's a shoo-in for you guys.
Fucking, that's kind of. We discovered on this last tour that there is room in Emmett's bunk for both him and I. It was a horror.
Was that an accidental?
Yeah, you said that first.
I was looking for it from the time I walked on the bus. I was looking to see how big his bunk was. Oh,
so how many bunks do you got on your bus?
Four,
and then my office in the back.
Yeah, an office. Wow, not a lot of.
Once again, I glorify my shit. It's like the catch all that has become my office.
Yeah.
So this is your first tour as a tour manager, right?
No, it's my first tour with them. I've toured with other bands. Yeah.
Oh, all right. So, what'd you think? What did you learn since last time, Mayhem?
With these guys?
No, with me. I don't give a shit about them.
I learned that.
No, you were on. I don't know. Well, how long was it, like 4 or 5 months ago? So I'm wondering, what have we learned? What has changed in your life?
Not really much. I don't learn much, man. I'm not one for learning. I either know it or I don't.
I believe that, Phil. You believe that?
I don't believe that at all.
No, I don't believe it at all. He's
every man is my teacher, you know? Regardless if it's a homeless crackhead outside the Circle K asking for quarters or if it's Darren, you know,
I think which is also sometimes the homeless guy outside of Circle K asking for quarters,
right? So that's what I mean, same difference, right? But yeah, I think Darren's probably the one of the top five most interesting guys I've met this year because I haven't figured him out yet.
Oh, you still haven't figured me out? I was gonna ask you that.
Have you heard the bar stories? Those were better than any of the roadies.
I've heard a couple, but
that's great. He's been a whole tour trying to figure me out and still hasn't done it. I laid it out for you, dude, man. I laid it out.
Nah, there's some dark shit behind those eyes. Like, I can tell. Like, something's.
But he has pretty hair.
He does.
Right? It's important. It's a big deal. All right, so Phil. Tell me what's going on. So you guys are from New Orleans, but you ain't from New Orleans.
No, I'm from Ocean Springs originally, right next to Biloxi, Mississippi. But I've known and Emmett's from Jackson, and the other Jody's like the only guy from New Orleans. Trey's from Slidell. So yeah, we're all over the place, and we're all kind of the same age. We're all in our late 30s, early 40s, and we've just ran through the gauntlet of band members down here. Oh. So much so that we ended up together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that happens with a lot of bands.
Art enthusiasts.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in the walls in your houses.
Yeah.
I'm not at home. I'm on the road still. I haven't been home since I left you guys, dude.
Really?
Still haven't made it home.
Whose couch are you on now?
Yeah, where are you?
I'm not gonna talk about that.
Oh boy.
Wow. I'm on the road. Yeah. On a couch. When I got done with you guys, I spent like a week or so I spent a few days in New Orleans with Jody and then came to Virginia. And then I went to Welcome to Rockville down in Daytona. So I still haven't been home.
Do you pay to go to concerts?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
So they just let you in because you're dressed up like Jesus?
I don't even have to dress like I paint my fingernails and they assume I'm with the band.
Oh, you pull one of those.
It's like carrying a ladder into a venue, dude.
So you carry a ladder with you around in your car?
No, that's my ladder.
I don't believe any of
you go to these little small town fucking venues and they see a dude with long hair, tattoos and painted fingernails. And
I'd kick you out. I would not let you in.
Oh, I'd call security.
My fucking autograph.
I'd call security.
Don't bullshit me. You'd try to get me a blowy on the tour bus.
I've done worse. History bus. This is a perfect time. What do you guys talk about on your podcast, man?
Oh, we love it. So me and Pepper Goins, my co-host, he was doing Rushmore podcast for years, and they had it was mostly comedians. They had Ari Shaffir. I could name drop 100 different people, but they had a bunch of comedians on there. Thomas ended up moving to Austin to do some podcast out there with forgot his name, the guy from The Hangover. So he ended up doing
dude?
No the
Galifianakis
no Brian the he was the church chapel guy. Oh, yeah, with the accent.
Yeah, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. From Mad TV.
Yeah, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I don't know. Brian
Callen?
Yeah, yeah, Brian Callen.
Oh, Brian's a good dude.
Yeah, they're doing some kind of fight betting podcast or something. MMA.
Got to be better than him and Brandon Schaub.
Yeah.
Brian Callen, man. So I did a movie years ago. It's not very good, but I did one. And Brian hooked me up with Joe Rogan. And so Joe Rogan calls me and he goes, listen, dude, here's the deal. He's like, I super appreciate you offering me in your movie. And at the time, this is when he was doing Fear Factor. So this is way, way, way back, 2004. Yeah. And he's like, I super appreciate it. He goes, but I'm not an actor, man. I don't really act. I'm a host. So I'm not going to argue with him on the phone, but I'm like, bullshit, man. You were in that news.
Don't want to argue with Joe Rogan in person either. That motherfucker will roll you.
Well, at least he like had the courtesy to like telephone me up and say, hey,
cool of them. That is cool
thanks,
of
but
them.
No thanks. But what was interesting is all these years later, that fucker stuck to his guns, man. He doesn't act. He's a host. He might be like,
even whenever he's in a movie, he acts as himself. Whenever he does a role, he's himself.
Wait, when was the last time he was in a movie? I don't know. He doesn't like do it.
That one with Kevin James, where that fighting one, that boom or whatever. Here Comes the Boom.
He was a little cameo.
Yeah. It's all he does is cameos.
The fucking Kevin James, dude. Every time I call, no, Kevin James calls. Oh. I don't know. Joe Rogan's like, I'm here. Anyway, there's my great Brian Callen story.
Yeah. Sorry, I got a little sidetracked there. But we wanted to start a podcast together because it was a new relationship with me and him, and I'd been on other podcasts with him. But we just didn't know what to do. Like, he's into NASCAR, Formula One, Atlanta Braves baseball, like shit that I'm totally not into.
Yeah.
But after a few weeks, we found out that we were both super into history. We liked a bunch of all these history podcasts. The only problem was these history podcasts have these PhD guys, or they're like 3-4 hour long podcasts.
Why is that all these educated people like history? It's fucking irritating, dude.
Right. So to slightly undereducated guys like me and Bever doing it,
Mississippi.
Right. Making jokes about it. Like, dude, what would it be like to, like, you know, be fucking in Greece during this big war, and we'd make jokes about it, make it fun, and only do hour-long episodes.
There's no war that's fun. Wars are bad.
Well, depends. It depends. You could be
what side you're on.
Yeah, you could be in Finland during World War II on meth. They were giving out meth to everybody, and they were having a blast.
The meth pillaging more good.
Yeah, just raping and pillaging villages. Oh, it was crazy. Anyway,
learning definitely better with meth.
Yeah, they gave him pills. I forget what they were called, but yeah, we're 30 episodes in.
Oh shit, you guys are cruising.
Yeah, every episode
are they all about rape in Finland or no?
No, like we do interesting stories. Like last night we did the one about the casino bomb in State Line, Nevada, is the most sophisticated bomb ever made in the 80s.
In the
1980.
They catch the guy?
Yeah. They sentenced him to life in prison. But it was one of those things where they x-rayed the bomb, couldn't figure out how to defuse the bomb. And then this one engineer figured it out, he thought, and blew up the fucking casino.
No shit.
Yeah,
I'm thinking here. Okay. See, here's the thing.
I would be that engineer, dude.
The Rock, part two.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on The Rock, dude.
Yeah. Get that guy out there. What's the line? What's Nicolas Cage's line with the things?
Oh, you're talking about the movie. I was talking about The Rock.
No, the movie. Yeah. Nicolas Cage, welcome to The Rock.
Yeah, I can't talk about The Rock anymore. I've already publicly said that I was going to bitch smack him at one time.
He's huge.
Okay, I'll break it down. And the quick story is I had this thought of bitch smacking Rob Schneider because he's annoying. But there's no glory in it. So I was thinking about a celebrity that I could bitch smack and get some street cred. Mm. And obviously Mike Tyson's not the one. He'll beat the fucking brakes off of you. I think if I would smack The Rock, he would knock my teeth out of my mouth, but he wouldn't beat me to death. You know
why are
saying?
We picking like A-list celebrities? Why don't you like go down the ladder like a D-list celebrity?
Because you're not going to make TMZ on D-list.
No, yeah, that's true. But you got to pick somebody that over 50% of the public doesn't like or thinks is an asshole already. Because you don't want to slap somebody that
everyone
likes.
People like The Rock.
People do like The Rock. But the ones that people don't like are the ones that will beat me to death. I'm a little feller. I can take one or two good hits. And then, I can't take three hits from these big guys.
Like when Glenn Danzig got popped, you know, that band
that was crazy. That was crazy.
I missed this. Someone punched them.
Oh yeah, no, oh, knocked them out.
Like this was a long time ago.
Big fat dude. I almost remember the band he sang for because they were closing after Danzig played and
Danzig opened for them.
It was a festival thing, and some of Danzig's gear, if I remember correctly, like some of their PA was on stage or some of their gear, and they took the gear off before they played and said, you know, fuck you, deal with it, or in the middle of what they, but, and he confronted them backstage, and Danzig's in his, you know, fishnet shirt jacked, just daring him to do something about it. And he pushes him, and the dude comes back with this overhand right. The dude's a good 400 pounds and just connects. And he it's on YouTube. Like, this is no lie.
Yeah, I've seen the video, but it's been a minute.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're not 400 pounds, man.
No.
You're like a skinny Jesus.
The reason that it's so funny is because I'm so small.
How small are you? You look like you're tall. What are you, like 6'2"? Yeah.
No, I'm 5'11 and 150 pounds, dude.
Oh yeah, you're 5'8 and like 200.
I'll leave my jokes for later.
Okay. Thank you.
It's your show.
Oh, that's cool.
That's
wanted to do this like skit thing. I was thinking you can let me know what you think. I think you'd be the perfect guy to discuss this with. But it was gonna be like, the setup was that you croak off and you go up to heaven and you're like, I want to talk to Jesus. And then Jesus is there and he's just kind of like, God damn it, go talk. Or he probably wouldn't say that actually.
Yeah. If it's mayhem, Jesus, if it's mayhem,
well, a bad start.
100%, it's God damn it.
He'll be like, you know, geez Louise.
Why do you have to make him such a nerd? God is such a nerd whenever you play God.
Well, wouldn't you know the whole point of, okay, the joke part was with the joke. Now that I've made it great. Now, the joke part was like, wouldn't you think Jesus would be like, hey, you know, why don't you go fucking talk to Gandhi, man? You know, I'm tired of talking to everybody. Everybody comes here wants to talk to me.
You think the religions mix like that? You think Gandhi and Muhammad and Jesus all like play fucking Texas Hold'em together?
Yeah, probably not. It's a good point.
Texas Hold'em is a good game. What do you think? If
anything's going to bring the religions together, it's Texas Hold'em.
Who do you think wins?
Or strip fucking. I like Naked Twister.
I don't think they're playing Naked Twister.
I guarantee you that fucking Buddha's not going to win Naked Twister.
No. Do they even know what Buddha looked like?
I don't know. Every time I see him, he's a little fat dude.
Because he's a happy guy.
I think of a bald Trey. If you did your research, you'd know who the fuck I was talking about.
He's in the band. They hail from New Orleans, even though nobody's from fucking New Orleans.
Yeah.
That sounds great. That was one of my jokes I was going to write there. Did you guys start a band called Transient so you could all leave New Orleans? But you're not even fucking from New Orleans.
Yeah. That's why they're transient.
Yeah. I'm really glad I didn't spend time on this.
Why they're you know what transient means, right?
Yeah, it means like homeless people. And I'm wondering if they're like, is you. So they're all cruising to the gig to come see homeless Jesus. And lo and behold.
They live on the tour bus, dude.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Like, a couple of these guys are close to being homeless. They're one bad decision away.
Yeah, a barista is not too far from a bad decision away.
Yeah. hey.
You've drummed in a shitload of bands, yeah, Phil?
Yeah. Too many. I started off when I was 16 as I was a singer in a bunch of death metal bands around town. And then I figured out that I was not very good at that. And then I started playing drums and I was not very good.
What was the first band's name? Do you remember?
Yes. Insignia.
It's not bad, actually. Okay.
It's actually a pretty good name.
Yeah, that's pretty all right. Yeah.
I have pictures and videos from my bedroom when I was 16 and we were drinking Keystone beers warm because we couldn't put them in the fridge because my mom would get pissed, right? She didn't know we were supposed to have them. And we're in there with our crate hats.
And look at you now. Cold beer and all.
Still hiding from his parents. Motherfucker is still hiding from his parents.
It's true. This is true. Yeah, we were doing some questions. Yeah,
is your mom still around?
Oh yeah, yeah. They live next door to me at my other house in Mississippi.
That's how you know he's a rock star at his other house.
I should have noted.
He was pretty rock star right there.
I stay like right now. I'm at my girlfriend's house in New Orleans,
See, it all comes back to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Well, the girls in New Orleans are great.
Yeah.
So that part makes sense.
Yeah. So, but I sang in a bunch of bands, then started drumming. Wasn't good at drumming. So I joined a grindcore band because you don't have to be like great at drumming to be in a successful grindcore band. So I did that for a long time and just cut my teeth in playing with a good friend of mine, just spending hours and hours a day, every single day, playing like thrash metal, like playing Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, all that stuff.
But you were drumming.
Yeah. Drumming. Just grinding. And just at some point in my early 20s made a decision to play with anybody that wanted to play. And I played in country bands. I played in cover bands. I played in death metal, alt rock, just everything you can think of.
I'm trying to get them to break into the boy band sector.
And I'm down. Like,
if we could get Trey and Emmett to get the dance moves down, I'm convinced that Phil and Jody are good to go.
So have you ever been to one of those concerts? So I worked for NSYNC for 5 minutes.
I believe that.
Yeah, well, I was a huge fan, but I will tell you, man, I shut the fuck up quick because I watched those dudes dance. I did the music video Pop, and I watched those dudes dancing around, and I was like, no wonder the chick I'm dating likes this guy better than me.
Yes,
really? Were you? Did you get a little aroused, dude? Did you get a little tingly in the pants?
Kind of hard not to. It's NSYNC, bro.
Dude, and when you see them in person dance like that, it's wildly crazy. Impressive.
They're pretty
it's
dudes. It's
wildly too. Impressive.
Ridiculous. Yeah, they had like a BMX dude doing a flip on the bike. That was fucking cool. Plus, they had all these like hot raver girls like dancing around. All that was cool. But I guess, and then all the guys are doing their dance routine, and then Justin cruises out, and he like danced separately, I think, downstairs or whatever. And I'm like, wow, this guy's even better than those fucking dudes.
Yeah,
and it was pretty real.
As much as you know, me being a metal dude hates to admit it, Justin Timberlake is a fucking talented motherfucker.
Oh, he's a good actor.
I mean,
well, yeah, I had just come off of like, I don't know, I think Godsmack or something. And I'm working for NSYNC and I'm thinking like this fucking.
You went from Godsmack to NSYNC, huh? It's like going from, never mind.
You want to hear a good one? It's in the book. So I don't, spoiler alert or I don't, whatever you want to call it. So I'm working for NSYNC. And one of the dudes in the band has a busted leg. So I'm just I'm talking to this guy a lot. And we're like separating M&Ms and just trying to waste time just being. There was nothing to do. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk. So Lou Ferrigno's hanging out. Pretty fucking cool, right? Incredible Hulk. Well, he won't go away. And so he's bucking the shit out of NSYNC guys. So they had to get a security dude to keep Lou Ferrigno away.
Oh, shit. That's fucking hilarious. Yeah. Fucking Lou Ferrigno's a fanboy.
Dude, he was digging on NSYNC. This is why when you're talking shit, like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, can't bag on Lou Ferrigno. He clearly has good taste.
You know what? Now that I know he's an NSYNC fan, that's the celebrity that I want to bitch smack.
Lou Ferrigno? Well, now, what is he like?
Oh, boy.
I'll bet he would fucking kick your ass.
Everybody that I mentioned would kick it. Don't think for a second that I'm trying to say that I'm tougher than any of these people.
Well, you're not getting in a ring with the guy. All you got to do is hit him and run.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I bet I can run faster than all of them.
That's your superpower talent?
Fear will make a little dude run like a motherfucker.
That's good to know. Thank you for that words of wisdom.
Man, Jesus said so.
Man, Jesus is a...
You write it in red.
So I thought this was your first tour managing experience. That was gonna be my big talk about things, so I'm way off.
I fucked you all up, didn't I?
Yeah, I fucked me
this up. Was my most recent and probably my most enjoyable. I really had a good time with these guys. We did it was just a short run. We did Florida and Mississippi, spent about a little over a week I guess all together.
So are you collecting the cash at the end of the gigs or no on these gigs?
Yeah, I do the money. I make sure my job with the band is to make sure that they get to the gig on time, make sure that they get paid, make sure that they get all their equipment back at the end of the night, and to try to make it as enjoyable of an experience as I can for the trip.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I kind of draw my line. Anything more professional than that, you're probably talking to the wrong guy.
No cheeseburgers at 3 a.m.?
Oh, yeah. If that's what they need. Phil, I take care of you guys.
Yeah. He did a good job. And I'll be honest, because day one, first day I met the guy, right?
Yeah. Remember that. First time we met in person was day one of the tour.
I don't know who this guy is. I don't know if he sleeps on his stomach. I don't know if he's going to try to touch me. I don't know what
face down, palms up, baby.
Yeah, I don't know what he's into.
But all this what was your last tour manager like?
Oh, Taro, that was a disaster. So I was very skeptical, you know, because
did he paint his fingernails?
No, I wish he would have. Like the
honestly. Are you hating?
No, I was saying it's good stuff.
Okay.
But no, he did a good job. I was super skeptical. I kept a wild eye on him, you know, especially in the late night, you know,
especially when I was showering.
Yeah, he's, you know, you don't he seemed like one of those midnight scientists that tries different things as the night goes on, but no, he did a good job, and we were super happy with him.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually my first run with these guys, and after the tour, whenever you get, you know, invited to be their permanent TM after the tour, that's my benchmark. It's for me, it's not about, you know, the money made and the all that shit.
Was this a conversation you actually had, Phil, or is this him hoping?
You know what? Now that I mentioned it, or now that you mentioned it.
Have you ever written a resume?
Me?
Yeah.
The only resume I've ever given out was to a band. I had a cross joint. I can roll a cross joint. And I handed that to a band and presented it as my resume. And that's my resume. I'm the most unprofessional, professional fucking guy you'll ever meet.
Yeah, it works because we're not like super structured. We're not like by the book. We like to party and have a good time. When it's time to play, it's time to play, you know, like when it's time to work, it's time to work. But that's 10% of the time. You know what I mean? Totally. Like we focus on our performance and the rest of the time is meeting people and putting out good vibes and making friends. Like that's the whole goal.
I want them to only have to work whenever they're on stage. The rest of the time I try to make them enjoy their experience as much as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, we made 2 beach days. Trey had never been to the ocean. So, I mean, we were in Jacksonville. The next day we went to Daytona Beach. Nice. The day after that, we went to Clearwater. It's just, you know, you try to do little things along the way to make it an enjoyable experience. Touring.
I can see you having a lot of friends from Florida.
Me?
Yeah.
I got a lot of friends everywhere, dude.
He made a lot of friends too. I was impressed.
Who is this guy?
Who's your favorite friend that you met?
My favorite friend is Lindsay from Clearwater.
Lindsay from Clearwater. Is that a dude or a chick?
It's a chick.
Okay.
I think.
I don't know. It was a serious question. I don't know why.
I mean, it's 2020.
Who's Lindsay, dudes? Lindsay Buckingham.
I'm pretty sure it's a legit chick.
All right. So tell us about Lindsay from Clearwater. Why do you like Lindsay?
I don't know. She was just a cool person. That's as far as people that I met on the road. We were, we'd gone to the beach and I took my phone out. I lost my sunglasses. And no, I didn't lose them. They got.
If you get bored with this story, Phil, just say so.
No, Phil will love this story. No.
Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah. My sunglasses got broken the night before at, I forget where we were. I guess it had been Tampa.
Yeah.
So we were in Tampa at Brass Mug, and my sunglasses got broke. Jody Linnell, I'm 100% convinced, sat on them. So we retired my glasses to the trash can, and I found a pair in the tour bus that I am pretty sure were girl sunglasses, you know, female sunglasses.
Like diamonds and stuff on them?
No, they weren't like blinged out, but they just weren't super masculine. And we were out. I took my phone out to the ocean to get a picture of the band out, you know, in the ocean, braved my iPhone into the fucking depths.
It's very romantic. You guys are like the Little Mermaid of,
you know, there are so many romantic stories about this tour.
It was nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
It really was. We had everything from dirty dancing moments to fucking, I mean, we didn't go quite Brokeback Mountain, but
you know the song She's Like the
Wind? We went Brokeback Hill. Huh? What?
You know She's Like the Wind?
Yeah. That's fucking Patrick Swayze, right?
Yeah, let's hear it. Come on. Look to the...
Oh, no.
Oh, come on.
I do the dancing. I'm a dancer. I'm not a singer.
Really? You can do like the whole thing where you threw in the air and shit?
Oh, you need to check it out. Me and Emmett, did you see that video, Phil?
I think so. Yeah.
Emmett did the fucking...
Yeah, that was probably...
The most pathetic thing you've seen in a long time?
I wouldn't use the word pathetic. I was going to use another word. Yeah, it was pretty...
Sad?
It was pretty feminine. Yeah, it was a nice...
That's
not where I was going at all.
Subscribers?
I did break out Nobody Backs Baby into a corner before I did it. So, I mean,
can't lose.
No, I mean, well, you can't really win either.
Is that Jennifer Gray? Is that her name? Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
She's hot. I don't think she's hot anymore.
What? She's hot.
Okay.
I don't know. I think she's pretty hot.
So are you.
Aw, thanks, Pumpkin.
Yeah, I was bullshitting about both of them.
Anyway. All right.
That'd be cut out. Watch, that'd be cut out, Phil.
I don't think I ever asked you in the first one. Why Mayhem Jesus? How did you start this shit? I didn't care. But now that you're on the second
one. You still don't fucking care. No bullshit, man. We should
find out who this fucking guy is.
Mayhem Jesus came. I used to go to music festivals with the group that was, you know, Camp Mayhem. Before I realized that they were a bunch of busters. But I looked like, I'd go to these festivals and I'd see like people dressed like Power Rangers and Spider-Man and all this shit. And everybody always told me I looked like Jesus. So it really came down to me wanting free weed and booze.
I dressed up like
Jesus. Everybody wants to party with Jesus.
All roads go down to free weed and booze.
In my world, they do.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a tour manager.
Yeah. You're the one who usually has to go find that shit.
Yeah, but I'm good at it. And when you got a band with you, that's my end.
Yeah, he does have really good social skills. I'll give him that, you know.
It's important quality.
It really is.
It's a big quality for a tour manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you want out of your band Transient? That's like my official. Isn't that good fucking question, that? It's like scary. Like, how do I answer that shit? You don't have to.
No. Well,
there's only like two people on here who care.
No, well, the reason, the main reason that we all got together with this group is we've just eaten shit for 20 years in our little respected bands. And, you know, I met Jody for the first time. Like, I've played shows with him for 15 years. I've seen him around.
Like,
but he always seemed kind of like a dick, you know. You know, if you've never spoken to somebody and you just see them, and their mannerisms, and they wear the flat-billed hat, and he looks like a cartoon character. He reminds he reminds me of Todd from Beavis and Butthead, you know, the guy that stands outside the gas station. He's an asshole, but everybody thinks he's cool. But then I met him, and I'm like, oh, he's not what I, you know. But he was playing bass in a band out of Mobile that I was playing with, and they brought, and I was like, oh, I know you, blah, blah, blah. And we're hitting it off. Well, the singer of that band ended up doing some, he got into the gay porno business, no lie. And so,
really?
Totally.
Are you serious?
See that?
Dead that was serious. Good, Darren. I'll send you a link, bro. Like,
no, please don't.
He already has it.
Yeah. I've got that in my favorites.
And not like a second rate guy either. He was like top five.
No shit.
Like, yeah,
you know, if you're gonna do it, go big and be the best at it.
Well, hey, he went big, Darren. But to continue on, you know, we kind of wasted a bunch of time with that. We wasted a bunch of time with some other projects, and he contacted me. He's like, hey, you're a no bullshit guy. I'm a no bullshit guy. We're getting older. We're sick of this shit. Let's do something for real, for real, for real. I got this guy, Emmett. And I was like, oh, I've met him before. You know, again, like playing shows, I've never talked to these
people. How long ago was this?
2 years ago.
Okay, cool. All right.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, because I can't keep playing empty bars. You know, like I can't, I've done it for so long. I've been on so many tours where, you know, when you get back and you're negative $2,000 or you're just, your life is worse than it was before you left.
Yeah, you know? Not only are you out of money, but your girlfriend's fucking the neighbor.
Right, and you hate the guitar player. You know, you don't want to be in the band anymore. Whatever happens, like we were sick of it. So
you
we
took
formed
your mom's crochet off the wall before the interview. I know
my crochet, by the way,
is what it is. Yeah. So yeah, so we wanted to do something for real and see how far we could take it. And so far, it's been, you know, we're pretty happy with it. We got three songs coming out.
Yeah.
This year we're going back in the studio for September to do three more songs to release in the first half. Like, we're just pumping out content.
I did watch a couple of your videos on YouTube, and you got people listening because they're writing to you. They're very active. So, yeah. I mean, that's good.
The Transient fan base is amazing. The people that have gotten on board are super supportive. And I mean, I say we, like I'm part of the band, but we love them all and we appreciate the fuck out of it.
Nothing to step on your toes, Phil, but I like that because us roadies, we, you know, I know you said you're not a roadie, but us guys who work for the band, whatever way you want to put it, I mean, we're fucking with you all the time. We're busting our ass.
Yeah.
But yeah, let us stay our band because we fucking work hard. How, it is your band. It's not us. We're not making. We're not
that's
making
what I love band. About the bands that I work with is they all make me feel like I'm part of the team. I mean, it's not like I don't feel like an employee to them. I feel like I'm part of the family.
Yeah, and, yeah.
Until you file for unemployment and then you take their money.
Yeah. that's why we don't do contracts.
That's why we, yeah. You ever get asked, dude, people used to, you guys have a union?
Yeah, no. See, I'm a horrible businessman, but I'm a great tour manager. I don't want to like put out that fucking flat rate where I get paid so much regardless. Cause I realized that, I mean, anybody that's been in the, unless you're a huge national act, touring is to build your fucking band and to build your name and to get yourself out there. And you merch is where you make money. It's, you know, by the time fuel will take away all of your fucking your gig money.
Are you running the merch too or no?
Yeah, well, I help out with everything. I drive, I help with merch. I do everything I can do to make sure that their trip goes smooth.
So how much is a transient t-shirt these days?
For 25. You, $75. You're in LA, right?
Inflation.
$25. Yeah. 20 bucks, 25 man.
Bucks for a t-shirt. How much is this? You guys sell CDs still? Is that still a thing?
No, right. We sell like dugouts.
They sell dugouts, dude. They sell dugouts.
Wait, they got transient.
What?
I don't even know what a dugout is.
A dugout is a little wooden contraption with where you can put your marijuana in, and it's got a fucking little pipe, and you can they sell paraphernalia. They've got transient paraphernalia.
Tobacco is, paraphernalia. Yeah.
Tobacco use only. I said marijuana because I'm a miscreant.
I wanted to make rolling papers and put bands' logos on them and sell them at shows. Like way back. And that's actually how I met Stone Brewing Company. These guys years ago, they helped me out with the movie I was saying I did. And their logo was the shit. So I wanted to put them on these rolling papers. And the guy's like, well, you realize like weed is our competition. We have beer company. but your logo is pretty dope. And he goes, all right, you know. And then I stayed in touch and he ended up giving
did
me
you do it.
They would not do it and nobody would do it. I had Fish. No, I think Fish said no.
I figured Tom Fish Petty, would have been all about it.
Tom Petty was the only one to think about it and they didn't do it.
Really?
Yeah, nobody would do it. Nobody would do it. And there was a few. Ron Jeremy had his own rolling papers.
Is it expensive
papers.
To do it?
Huh?
Is it expensive?
You know what? I looked into everything. It wasn't that expensive. I got the guys who made all the rolling papers for like Bob Marley. So the people making the rolling papers for Bob Marley were the same people making the rolling papers for Ron Jeremy. And I can't remember
That's
who
two
else.
Two different kinds of fatties, isn't it?
Yeah. See where it got him. He's doing really good.
Yeah. In prison?
Rough, huh?
Ooh. Now I dated a girl that worked for Ron Jeremy.
Oh, don't joke around. Yeah. Right.
Oh, no. This is 100% serious. That's why I don't date her anymore because I that was cool at first until you get like live in that world and holy shit.
You know, he used to hang out a lot on Sunset. And he was chill. He was always, I don't know, maybe because I'm a dude, but I never noticed any wacky shit. He was all right. He was cool. He never drank or anything.
He's got a master's degree.
Does he has a master's degree in human sexuality.
See, that's a bullshit master's degree. That's like an internet fucking master. Fuck that. That's an internet master's degree.
He was a special education teacher for years.
I bet he was special education.
and he quit to do porn because somebody saw his dick one day.
Yeah.
It's and like really? My friend, like I've my friend, I guess.
And it's not, I mean, not in person, but I've seen it on film and it's not that, it's not that impressive.
Okay.
Who has an impressive cock to you?
No.
Hey, I'll say, hey.
An impressive cock.
I told you. I'm gonna send you a link after this. I'm gonna send you a link, okay? this motherfucker looks brand new, dude. Like
a rapper, huh?
Yeah, it's polished up.
All right, talking about baby making.
Baby making.
My buddies all have kids now. I asked this to Darren the first time around, so you can come up with maybe something different or maybe something that's happened on the recent tour. But my buddies have kids and. They knew I was going to start a podcast. And so his daughter was in fifth grade at the time. And she said, I should ask every guest when they first felt famous. So my question to each of you is, when did you first feel famous? Now, if fame is not a road that you want to go down in answering this question, when was there a time in your life a pivotal moment that made you proud of the road you're on, or made you feel good about yourself, or just something that's a kernel for you, man?
I'll go. That's easy for me. Way back when I thought I was going to go over that hump. I was in a thrash metal band. We were playing some club in Mobile, Alabama, and we were playing with whatever band it was. I can't remember the band, but it had two of the girls from Kitty. And this was in early 2000s, and they had just gotten off, I think it was one of the Real Steel tours with Pantera.
Oh, yeah.
So we were back in the green room. We get to talking to them. They're telling stories, and they're, you know, I'm like 23, 22, something like that. I'm super young. And they're pushing shots of this back when everyone drank Jaeger for some dumbass reason. Yeah. They're pushing shots of Jaeger in my face and calling me a bitch and, you know, and saying, take the shot, bitch, take the shot, quit being a bitch. And I'm like, you know, kind of starstruck, like I don't belong here, but I'm trying to be cool. So I'm, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, like I'm killing it. And I'm like, man, I feel fine. I must be on this level, you know what I mean? And we were taking pictures, we were hanging out, we played the show, the club was packed. I was on top of the fucking world until the walls started like just moving up and down like that. Yeah. And I was like, fuck, dude.
How helpless do you feel at that time? You go from being on top of the world to feeling like you're the most fucking vulnerable person ever.
Right. And they love me. Like they're like, Phil, come on, come do a shot. And I'm like, yeah, let's do another shot. I can't see. I can't feel my feet. Let's go do another shot. So we go back there and I'm getting just violently just sedated on Jägermeister.
Violently sedated. That is an interesting fucking term.
And I remember
a good band name right there.
We're hanging
out. Really is
a little long.
They had like this shuttle bus song. Looking thing. We're hanging out by the bus. Everybody's doing stuff. We're hanging out. I was like, man, this is, I would love to do this every night. Like, this is amazing. I'm having such a good time. Everyone loves Phil. And then it was like, I went to my truck and sat down on the tailgate because my legs were going numb. And I thought it was
because you're in Mississippi, but okay.
It was Alabama. Little step up.
Alabama's a step up from Mississippi?
Absolutely.
Is it really?
Yeah. Oh, education, teen pregnancy, all that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Teen pregnancy. Is
dropout
it
rate?
Higher or lower in Alabama?
Everything's lower than Mississippi, except for West Virginia. Us in West Virginia are back and forth with like income.
That's a bad one to be in.
Poverty. We do have the least amount of bachelor's degrees in the country. But that's a whole nother topic. So anyway, long story short, I blinked and woke up in my truck at a truck stop, and the truck was running, but it was like 7 a.m. It was 110 degrees inside of the truck, and there's like vomit all over the floor. So I made it out, but I was super proud of myself, and I you know, went to work Monday morning.
That we puked outside.
Yeah.
I felt like I made it
through the night.
I thought I was going to get a record deal like the next day because pictures are going to get out of me. And I'm like, fuck, people are going to think I look cool.
You look so cool.
I was like, fuck, I got this sick t-shirt on. Like, fuck, dude.
So did the girls from Kitty ever talk to you again?
No, they don't know who I am. So the one of the girls.
Just wrapping it up back again there. Yeah.
She goes by Gin City on Instagram, the bass player. She hosted some metal thing in New Orleans like 2 years later that we played, and I was like, hey, what's up? Hey,
she's yeah, like,
who
the fuck are you?
Have we met? I was like, yeah, remember that night in Mobile? She's like,
Jaeger.
She's like, yeah, do you want to take a picture or something? Like, and I was like, oh, okay.
Dude, that is so brutal. I've been there. I feel your pain. I've been there.
I talked shit. I was like, dude, I know her, bro. Watch this shit. Watch this shit.
That tell all your buddies. Yeah.
With this girl that I dated for 5 years.
That's what I do with transient. I'd be like, hey, I'll tell my buddies. I'll be like, yeah, watch this. I'll throw a word out to transient and get this love back. And I'll send stuff to Phil, and he'll be like, who the fuck are you, weirdo?
Yeah.
He would never do that.
Yes. Oh, yes, he would. Yes, he would.
Phil's a sweet.
That's how I know he loves me. If he doesn't fucking burn me every once in a while, then I don't think Phil loves me anymore.
Yeah, I got an idea for you, Phil. You should change your podcast. You should call it Drunk History.
There's already a Drunk History.
Yeah, we thought about that.
A Drunk History.
And we do drink hard.
Drunk History is fucking, it's a very good podcast. Don't get me wrong.
We go hard. Like the other night we did Jim Jones. We did a 2-hour one on Jim Jones.
I've got a fucking Jonestown Juice t-shirt that celebrates the Kool-Aid.
I mean, yeah, I like Kool-Aid. Yeah, he did.
Shout out to Ink Poisoning Apparel for hooking Mayhem.
Fun fact though.
There's no sponsorship shout outs.
Yes, there is. Yes, there fucking is. That's how I pay my bills. God damn it, there is.
Oh, okay. Hold on then, because you were kind of muffled.
Stuff has to get cut out. I get it.
Right across our faces, like Talladega Nights. What is
it? For what it's worth, I said it. At least I wasn't in tidy white.
I'm telling you to say it again. Say it again.
Oh, they know. Fucking Ink Poisoning is my people.
Ink Boys? I'm trying to like give them a real moment here.
Ink Poisoning Apparel hooks me up with so much cool shit. I get so much love on my hat, which it looks just black here.
That's just a black hat that doesn't have anything on it.
It says Believe with an upside down cross.
I'll send you a black hat.
You know what? You'll send me all kinds of stuff if I ask.
Yeah, I'm gonna send you a link after this. It's gonna change your life.
I'm not asking for that, Phil.
You can be acting.
You have a nice moment where you weren't an asshole on this last tour or not, Aaron?
What's that? Was I an asshole?
No, I'm sure you were an asshole. No, I'm saying like the 5-year-old kid, you know, you're famous, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Give me a moment.
Oh, a moment?
Or you know what? If you don't have one, you'll have to. Just tell me another bar.
I'm not famous. The coolest thing for me is when I get recognized. Just being recognized is cool.
Yeah.
Whenever I go to a festival and people are, you know, I'm not even dressed up like Jesus. I'll just wearing street clothes and people recognize who I am.
So like, honest, not even fucking around, like seriously, do you think it's cool because they recognize you because they know you from the capacity of like cool shit? Meaning I'm like, not some douche guy. I like this crap and that's why I'm into it. And you must too. So we got something in common.
That's what it is. I'm big on promoting unsigned bands.
Right.
It's kind of like my thing with Rock Rage Radio.
You know, a lot of them wrote to me and it was a lot of work. So I appreciate that. Thanks.
From my show?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. but you got good words from it, didn't you?
No, you know what? I'm being a total smart ass. There, honestly, I did get quite
I didn't hear shit about it, is what you're trying to say.
Huh?
You didn't hear shit about me? Is that what you're trying to say?
Nobody talks shit about you. No, man. What I heard, it was just people like, hey, I like watching you two assholes talk, even though there was three of us on the podcast.
Yeah. Us two assholes stood out though, didn't we?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Your buddy, the Kevin, right? Kevin Heller.
Kevin Wall.
A nice dude, for real.
Oh yeah. Dude, that is my,
he was pulling the weight.
Yeah, he's the one that led me to where I'm at. That is 100%. The first person to ever suggest that I would be a good tour manager was Kevin Wall. He's the one that got the thought in my head and got me started on this path.
Well, it seems to be going good for you, for real.
It is. I'm up to 4 bands. Whenever I was with you before, I was just with Seasons. I've got Seasons. I've got Transient. I've got a band called Saturate out of Houston, Texas. I've got a band called, the last one I signed is Breathing Theory out of Orlando.
Breathing Theory? Where did they come up with that name?
I don't know, but it's a great.
I'm like really into the names. I know, that's why I always
You need to check them out. They're doing good things too. But all I'm fortunate to where, even though I work with MVK, I'm able to do my independent things. They don't hold me to just their bands, and I can pick and choose who I work with. So I don't work with any band I'm not a fan of their music. I don't want to go on tour with a band that I don't like their music. I don't want to listen to it every night.
It happens. I'm just going to let you know that they're
well, not for me.
Might have to at some point.
Not for me. And I won't do it. I don't want to tour with anybody that I'm not a fan of.
I'll tell you something. There's certain acts sometimes where you're not a fan and you become a fan, which is actually a really neat experience.
A live show will take me from not liking their studio music to liking the band. If that makes any sense. I'm all about the live show. If I love your music on the radio and I go to your show and it sucks live, you lose points. And I don't care how good your studio shit is. I know that mastering, I know how fucking, how mixing and shit works. If you can't produce that shit live, then it's all your producer. That's why I like Transient. That's why I like Saturate. That's why the bands that I work with, because they bring it live. And that's what it comes down to me. You can do all kinds of shit in the studio, man. You know, as well as I do, but
I got fired from working in a studio. So I know.
Yeah. It all comes out on stage though.
Those guys are boring, by the way.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If you can't do it live, then I don't want to fuck with you.
Yeah. All right, Phil, tell me some stories of some shitholes you've played in.
Oh, shitholes. Oh, yeah, my God.
Tell me some. Those are some good ones.
Oh, man.
Don't bring up any from our tour.
No, I did a tour years ago, and we ended up in Sacramento. I've never been to Sacramento. Certain parts of Sacramento.
Was it overcast?
Sacramento.
Is a rough spot. It's a rough spot. We're in... It's a large Asian community where we were at. And I was like, oh, well, this is interesting. There's Asian restaurants. There's Asian grocery stores. So it was like this general
playing
store.
Poker.
I'm glad you said that. It was this, I don't know who booked this shit. It was this general store of Asian products, right? And we're like, this Asian can't products. Be it. This can't be it. We got the wrong address, right? We're traveling in a van with a trailer with two bands in the van. Two bands in the van, AC barely worked. It was a rough summer.
Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't tour manager for that one.
We go in there and they're like, oh no, y'all are the bands? Yep, back here, you're in the right spot. We go through two sets of double doors and it's real dark, it's real sketchy. And there is an illegal casino. Like, not big at all. I'm talking about like, two blackjack tables, a poker table, a roulette table, three slot machines, like just a little like makeshift. And there's
like a single wide trailer fucking casino.
Oh, you it was Kenny like Rogers? Movie. You Kenny Rogers?
Yeah. Hey, he'll get me going. There
he
was,
definitely knows when to hold him.
Yeah. And there's all these Asian dudes, right? In suits, and they're gambling with big money. I'm talking about like stacks of chips. They're pulling out wads of hundreds, just like, and they're cussing at each other. Dude's getting mad, like bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. And we're like, there's no way. And they're like, yeah, y'all set up right there. And we set up in the corner of that shit. And it was the band I was in at the time. It was two like super wild, noisy indie rock. Like just not like commercial alt rock. We didn't, you know, it wasn't anything pro. We just set up and went nuts, like kind of at the drive-in style stuff, like just insane. We got paid more there than any other place, because when we started playing, we're like, dude, we're gonna wreck this dude's casino. Like, all these Asian dudes are not gonna feel this. I can't see a scenario where they're like, oh fuck yeah, loud ass noisy indie rock with cheap solid state amps, let's fucking go. And we started playing and they would stop and they keep.
What kind of music were you playing?
Oh, it was like really fast, really loud rockabilly stuff.
Rockabilly.
Like noise chords, like
this, slapping the bass.
Yeah, and just going absolutely ape shit when you do it. Like, I joined the band like a week before they left for tour, because I got laid off from whatever job I had. Their guitar player or their drummer threw a fit about something to do with being vegan and gay at the same time, and he had an issue with somebody. I don't know. It always comes back to this. I don't know this story.
There is a theme here.
Yeah,
there's definitely a thing.
They asked me if I would learn the songs, and I learned like nine songs or whatever, like that week. And it wasn't too complicated, to be fair, but dudes were throwing us cash from the tables. Like, really? Just like, yo,
this, at a shithole bar.
It wasn't even a bar. And they're bringing us beers. Like, they'd bring all the dudes at the table beers, and they'd bring us beers. Like, what do you want? We're like Coronas. And so they're just shoveling Coronas. They gave us $200 and we made tips like crazy.
It's a great gig.
Okay. Now what it about was.
Yeah.
This was not a shitty venue and a shitty gig at all. But we were in Florida and we got double booked at a place. We got double booked with a Swedish death metal tour.
Is this Transient or some other tour?
It's Transient.
Okay, cool. Okay.
This is Transient. This is just 2 weeks ago. And where was it? Orlando? That was Tampa.
Yeah.
We got double booked with a Swedish death metal tour, which
black metal.
Oh, black.
Real dark, deal black metal.
Dark black metal.
Upside down crosses dark, like everywhere.
Dark black metal. Now, I got love for it, but that's not our sound. That's why we were willing to go on first happily, because if you were there for that Swedish death metal tour, it was, oh my God. But the coolest thing is going backstage at a Swedish death metal fucking tour. I had no idea what the fuck they were saying.
Swedish fish.
It sounded like the fucking, like there was two characters from the fucking, I don't know if it was like Jim Henson, some kind of shit. I mean, it was like, it was crazy. To hear them talk was like hearing fucking cartoon characters to me. It was, they go on stage and they are so evil and fucking, but you go backstage and it's doopy doopy doo. You know what I mean? It was so fucking weird.
Is that what they sound like to you?
It totally sounds just like that. That was like an exact fucking thing. They're to hear them talk, you know, amongst themselves backstage and their native language and all that shit sounded so fucking, I mean, it wasn't even vanilla. It was fucking Superman ice cream. It was fucking, it was crazy. It was
and most of them spoke broken English too. So you could have a conversation with them.
But to hear them talk backstage was like listening to a cartoon.
Yeah.
And then they go on stage. Now their music was fucking killer. Don't get me wrong. Their music at all. They killed it. But it's so the difference in the sound of backstage and their fucking, they sound almost comical to me. I mean, it's a weird sound.
I can only imagine what they thought of you.
Oh, no. I was the only one that kept us in the group. I had an upside, my t-shirt from Ink Poisoning Apparel had a upside down cross out of cocaine with a fucking razor blade next to it. And that's the only thing that made us part of the group. I'm the only reason that we were part of the group, because I had an upside down cross on my shirt. Other than that, they were just fucking, it was, Transient has that melody. They that's what I like about the music I work with, is they've got melody and they've got screams for emphasis. You know what I mean?
You should do some Transient shows in Sweden. That'd be fucking awesome.
You know what? We made connections that night and we could.
Yeah.
That would be really neat, man.
We could go to Sweden. We made friends that night.
Oh yeah.
We've actually made a lot of friends.
And these are no joke bands. My brother is a black metal enthusiast. He that's all he cares about is black metal and Manowar. Yeah. And I text him the flyer and he's like, dude, I know all these bands. These dudes are fucking legends.
And they were. They were great. They were fucking great. They're just so much heavier. I mean, they're the melody.
What was the band called?
Oh, fuck. I don't know. And if you try to read their fucking, it's one of those tree branch.
Is it Black Ink T-shirts?
I couldn't read their fucking band name to save my life, dude. I couldn't read their logo and tell you their band name to save my life.
Yeah, it was very complicated, to be fair. But I sent it to my brother and he was like, dude, these dudes, like their first album came out in 92.
Yeah.
These dudes,
they were really
titans.
Good. Yeah. They all did great. We stayed for the whole show and it was a great night, but it was just it was weird to be booked with that heavy.
Yeah.
Transient, they've got that melody to it. They've got that fucking harmonic fucking vibe. It's got screams and they're a heavy band, but it's also got that melody where you get into that Swedish death metal and it is just fucking blah, 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 all the way through.
You need a singer?
I might be able to make it in a fucking Swedish death metal band.
All right, we're done.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like and subscribe by clicking the round button on the bottom right. To learn more about me or the guests on the show, go to joelrody.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok The handle's Joel Rohde. And don't forget, when you party like a rock star, don't be a dick.